Welcome to Red Sea Radio, Fairfield University's only student-run podcast that brings you all the Fairfield Stags coverage you need. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. And today I'm joined by Zach Dayton, the Deputy Director of Athletics at Fairfield University. On today's episode, you can hear us talk about Zach's journey through the sports industry, from his early start at Pace University to his current position with Fairfield University. Zach also gives some great advice for those who are looking to break into the sports industry out of college. We also talk about some great Fairfield Athletics memories and, of course, the new Convocation Center that we're all so excited for. All that and more only on Red Sea Radio. Live from Lower BCC, you're listening to Red Sea Radio on WVUF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, and today I'm joined with a special episode by Zach Dayton, the Deputy Director of Athletics at Fairfield University, joining us for the second time on this show. Zach, thank you for taking time today to sit down with us. Great to have you back.
Yeah, great to be back. Appreciate it.
Today we're not going to lose the audio as we did last time, so this will be up on streaming services as well later. But so to start the interview off today, just want to talk a little bit about your journey to Fairfield. So obviously you're a Pace University graduate, former captain of the baseball team, and then soon after that you transitioned to work for them as well. So first off, how was that transition going from, you know, playing at the school and then going to working for them?
Sure. I got my start in college athletics by being a student worker at games. So I was, you know, event staff and similar to honestly to what you're doing at games for us right now. Mm-hmm. That was my bridge to get into college athletics. And then I started working facilities and taking care of the baseball field and the football field and kind of learning a lot of the basics in that respect. So that was my foot in the door. And then from there, I was offered a paid internship once I graduated that turned into grad school and a graduate assistantship. And after I graduated with my master's, I was able to get my first full-time job. And, you know, the goal throughout all of that is to work as hard as you can to make yourself, you know, invaluable, where people would say, well, we got to figure this out because we can't lose him or her. You know, that's my philosophy on a lot of things. You know, you want to work as hard as be as valuable as possible to the organization you work for. And chances are, you know, that effort's going to pay dividends. So that was, you know, it seems like, when I explain it in 30 seconds or less, it seems like an easy, you know, roadmap. But that's not necessarily the case. But you gotta faith that good things will happen. You got to be good to people. And you got to show your worth. So I'm really grateful for everybody at Pace. It was a great experience. Talked to some of those folks earlier today. Actually, I haven't spoken to them in a while. And that was really what got me started here in college athletics.
Yeah, no, I like how you mentioned that you started off kind of just doing similar to what I do now. I really enjoyed, you know, coming to the end of my time working for you guys. I'm kind of sad about it. The last men's games next week, but I really enjoyed working here. It's been a really great experience. Got to see like so many behind the scenes things and like what goes into making the players and the coaches look great. You know, there's so many people that work hard behind the scenes, and also everyone at Fairfield is so awesome and nice. Like, you guys have always treated me super nice. Like, I'm just some student worker, but you guys treat me, you know, just like everyone else. So it's definitely been an enjoyable time, and it's good to hear your story, you know, started similar that way. But overall at Pace, how would you evaluate just your time there? What are some things you were proud of that you've done there?
Yeah, I was on the Pace campus for a decade, and we, you know, the place looked a lot different when I left than when I got there, and I wanted to try to have a small hand in that. So, you know, we were the first, you know, real marketing and promotions team to establish a sponsorship program, to have marketing promotions for football and basketball games, to build a kind of a comprehensive marketing plan for all of our varsity sports, to establish social media channels. And a lot of the new social media platforms were on the market at the time. So how do you establish that brand? Kind of building out, we built a few websites during my time there, and that was all really, really important as far as the brand of Pace at the time. That I think a lot of that is still there, and it's nice to see that it had some staying power. And then on top of that, you know, we did some really fun stuff with the mascot. We did some cool videos, some viral stuff that are probably some of the more fun projects that I've ever done. So, it was opportunity after opportunity. And like you said, going back to your internship, like you're exposed to a lot of different things between game experience, ticketing, broadcast, whatever is there, right? Mm-hmm. So I oversee our external operations team, and really nobody knows what that means unless you work inside college athletics. But if I'm going to have oversight of all external units, I really want to have a little bit of background in revenue generation, ticket sales, ticket operations, marketing, social, digital, broadcast operations, licensing. So minimally, I want to know just enough to be dangerous, but I want to be educated enough to support our staff. So that type of well-rounded internship experience could pay dividends for you down the road, because you're getting a well-rounded experience. We're not having you exclusively do one thing all of the time. And that's what I think is important in this process.
Yeah, no, it's definitely fun showing up, not knowing what you're going to do and getting different, assignments each day and stuff. But you mentioned some of the things you've done and some of the things you've done at Fairfield. So I kind of wanted to transition now into your time at Fairfield. So you came here in 2015. So just to start off, in general, coming here, how did you find out about Fairfield? What made you interested in the job? And then kind of what was your process of, getting the job here?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I had aspirations while in my, maybe last year, year and a half at Pace, of working in Division I institution. We were doing a lot of really exciting marketing things at Pace that I wanted to test out in a Division I environment. There's traditionally some great Division II environments where there's a lot of fanfare. But I'd say stereotypically there's a lot more fanfare at the Division I level between March Madness and everything else. So I wanted to do that. I had interviewed and was a finalist at a handful of Division I jobs for marketing positions, and I just couldn't get over the edge. And then this job at Fairfield came up, and a good friend of mine used to work here and knew the AD and kind of, put in a good word for me. I applied and had my materials ready. And, interviewing for jobs in sports is significant because the process is highly competitive. So you've got to have your portfolio ready. You've got to explain, why are you a difference maker? What's the, and that can be applied to a lot of different industries. People want to hire the 1%, the people that will do more than anybody and work harder than anybody, but at the same time, be a really strategic thinker and learner. And, how do you get your name to the top of the list? So I did my homework. I had been recruited here to play baseball, and I was on campus in 2004. So I had seen the campus before. It looked a lot different than it does now, but it's still a great school. So I think my values, my background, my love for sports, like all of that came out through the interview process, and it was a good fit for me to be here. And it turns out, it's better to be lucky than good. I think I came here at a really good time. The school is growing. We're in the middle of and kind of getting towards the end of a facilities master plan on campus. A lot of those buildings, including the renovated building that we're sitting in now, were a part of that. So it was a great time where Fairfield was saying, we want to grow. And I thrive in a growth-minded environment. Like I'm not really enthusiastic about kind of the status quo. I love to build and grow, and I came to Fairfield at the right time to do that. And that was pure luck. That there was nothing. I didn't have any insider knowledge of that. But it's worked out really well, because every year we're building and growing incrementally to create a better student experience, a better student athlete experience. In hopes of bringing Fairfield to new heights.
Yeah, now you're a huge part of that growth, so it's got to be pretty cool for you. And I know you're excited to talk about the Convocation Center. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But you mentioned how tough it is to get a job in sports, because it's a very, saturated field. A lot of kids coming out of college want to get into it. So for those kids, college grads, or even people maybe looking to go to college that want to work in sports, what would your advice be to those students to get ahead and get their name, like you said, to the top of that list?
That's a great question, and it comes at an interesting time. Like, some folks are leaving sports because of the time commitment. We work, you see us at games, and we work nights, weekends, holidays, and that's not for everybody, and I get that. But it's up to managers like myself to try to create an environment that people want to be a part of. So now there are new jobs in sports that never existed before. A lot of stuff in technology and data analytics, and the name, image, and likeness space. Like, there's a lot of really cool jobs that are new on the landscape. So, you know, my advice to folks is to start your journey early. You know, and you should be interning when you're in college. You know, and that comes as no great. You know, that's not new advice, right? Mm-hmm. But at a place like Fairfield, you got to leverage the folks that you're around. You know, it is an incredible alumni base, and there are people here that care dearly about this institution and have for decades and decades. Lean into that, and the results will follow. You know, and my only other piece that I'll add is, again, it doesn't sound necessarily like groundbreaking, but I've been able to get ahead in this industry because I pride myself on being a student of the industry. I know what's going on at every level of college sports because I read every day, all the time. I try to be a good manager of people and take care of our staff, but I read a lot of leadership books and all these things. So I completely lean in. It's not a 9-to-5 job. I'm constantly learning, trying to grow, and I can make really good decisions, hopefully consistently, based off of studying the industry, understanding where everybody's going, and then trying to make the best decision for Fairfield. But that comes from educating myself constantly. So I don't know. There's never been more knowledge and data available for people to do that. There are great newsletters. There's the D1 ticker. There's Front Office Sports. There's all these ones that come out daily. Mm-hmm. That didn't exist when I was getting into the industry. So lean into that. And at the same time, use technology to connect with people. When I got this version of this job, and I've told this story a lot, we work with a search firm on a lot of our coaches' searches and some of our administrative searches. And I reached out to them. I said, tell me four people in the industry. These folks know everybody. Give me four names of people that crush this job in this country that are unbelievable at the Division I level who are deputy ADs. Can I have their cell phone numbers? Yes. Okay. And I called them and I asked them all a series of questions. You know, what makes you successful? What are the challenges that you have? Who do you learn from? How do you get information? All that stuff. So like that was all from being a student of the game. I'm not saying that I have all the answers. I definitely don't. But that was the right thing to do in that situation because I want to be one of the best. So how can I learn from those that are considered the best?
Yeah, that's great. We read D1 Ticker all the time in our sports management class.
Nice.
Professor Doris used to always have us read there and then tell a story every week that we read from there. So
excellent.
It's pretty cool to see that, you know, you use that as well. You talked about Fairfield's opportunities within, you know, the growing sports market, right? So now we're offering sports media classes that we haven't, you know, offered in previous years. There's the new media center that, you know, we have our podcast class in every week. And then, you know, I'm a sports management minor right now. There's a lot of sports classes that I'm taking. So how excited are you about all these programs that Fairfield's bringing now with sports, not only for students, but also for you guys to collaborate with them as well?
I could not be more excited about the volume of sports-focused classes that Fairfield is offering and the amount of students that are interested in participating in those classes and those majors or minors. So I've talked to a ton of classes this year. I've talked to sports marketing classes, sports journalism classes, classes focused on broadcasting, and explained what we do over in the athletic department and the opportunity to collaborate. And I think you could probably, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I feel like we have more marketing interns around you than we've had in any year that you've been here.
Yeah,
certainly. That's how I feel is in the six, almost 7 years I've been here.
Yeah,
they've been fantastic. And that I think is a pipeline that will start. But we went to sports marketing classes in September and said, these are great opportunities that are right on campus. So that's a huge deal. I talked to sports journalism classes a couple weeks ago. Some folks reach out about internships from there. And then on our broadcasting side, you know, we produce over 130 events a year and over 50 ESPN broadcasts. And those skills that you can learn during that, I mean, it's a great career, really cool. Broadcasting is a real interest of mine. At the same time, if you are able to, even if you want to go into something else, but you know about broadcasting, you can freelance once you in the nights, evenings, or weekends and make extra money because you have these very specific skills. If you know how to do replay for an ESPN broadcast, there is a market for you to do that. So students on our campus can learn all of those skills, and it's a fantastic opportunity. So I think we were going back and forth, you know, between 50 and 100 students are involved in that sports track on campus right now, and that's growing. We anticipate more interns, more opportunities to work with and partner with the athletic department. And, like, this hands-on experience is real. Like, that's great stuff. If you can know how to work a camera, work a three-play machine, run graphics, like, all those things for a broadcast, that's really, really important. So great days ahead. Like, the momentum is there. Going back and forth with the sports marketing classes about partnering for the fall and some things, but trying to get into the ticket sales realm as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's been great to see since I've been here. And all those classes are great. There's so many great speakers, so many different opportunities. We did the thing with the Bridgeport Islanders last semester in sports marketing. So it's been awesome. And I hope for anyone listening out there that's either interested in coming here or interested in doing one of those programs, I hope that's kind of the push that you needed, because it really is a great program. So I'd like to say thank you for taking the time to talk about, you know, all the different opportunities that Fairfield has on campus.
Yeah, of course, anytime.
All right, so now I'd like to bring in Jack as our second host here. The first part of our show is just for my podcasting class, so welcome, Jack. How
Hello.
You been?
Hello. I've been here, but I haven't been talking.
Yeah, he's been here, but now he's finally joined the show. So kind of moving into the rest of the interview with Zach here, you've gone through a lot of promotions here in your time, a lot of name changes, and you even kind of said it yourself, you know, with your title, Deputy Director of Athletics. Some people might not know what that really entails, and I always see you running around doing pretty much everything. So kind of take us through what your day-to-day tasks are with your job.
That's a really difficult question. So we can break this down. I oversee our external operations team, which is our broadcast, digital, social, web, marketing, tickets, rev gen areas. I work hand-in-hand with our development staff on content and some programming to fuel our philanthropic efforts. I have a number of teams that I'm the sport administrator for, so that I work hand-in-hand with the coaches and student-athletes on their program. It's certainly some of the most rewarding work that you can find in college athletics when you see student-athletes and coaches succeed at a high level. I work for Paul Schlickman, our director of athletics, so there's a handful of projects that I'm routinely doing to help move our department forward. He's been fantastic and allows a lot of opportunities for me to grow. So it really varies on the day. Right now, you know, coming out of the pandemic, I feel like we're headed in the right direction, but I still have a heavy amount of Zooms. Wouldn't hate if some of the Zooms kind of died down and we moved into more in-person meetings, but Zoom is so convenient, and oftentimes it's, you know, I'm Zoom with people all over the country, so it just makes logistical sense, and it's better than conference calls. But those are the big things. I'm involved in a lot of our facility constructions and capital projects. I'm really involved in the Convocation Center. We've built some really cool stuff. I've been here, you know, I can't take credit for those, but I've been around to provide my input and help out as needed. So it's a really broad job, but it helps you manage your time, understand your priorities, and it's a lifestyle to an extent where, you know, it ebbs and flows. You know, I'd love to get to more practices. I love going to games. Game days are the best. You know, I can't wait for women's lacrosse tomorrow. We've got women's hoop on Thursday night. Both teams are off to great starts. You know, game day is awesome. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that you see on game day, you know, I'm really just troubleshooting. I want to make sure that everyone that I work with has the tools that they need to be successful for us to run a really great game day experience. So it's broad, but at the same time, that's how I've kind of been raised throughout this industry. There are different setups at different places. At larger schools, I could have been just a ticket salesperson. I could have been just a marketer. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those are wonderful jobs and are much needed. You know, I grew up in this industry as a generalist instead of a specialist. And that's my, that's how my resume looks. I've embraced that role. So it's a little bit different. But that's my day to day.
Yeah. It's given you chances to be more creative, like you said.
Yeah.
So what were some of the projects? I know you mentioned it the last time on our show, but for those that didn't get to catch that, what are some of the projects that you're most proud of? Obviously, you had a hand in changing Lucas getting him on ESPN, getting him throughout the first pitch, all that. So what are some of those things you're most proud of that you've done here?
Sure. Certainly the kind of reimagination of Lucas the Stag and was really cool. That was something that we really took charge on once I got here, and working with Jen Anderson, our VP for Marketing and Communications, to roll that out. And we wanted a comprehensive campaign that really moved the needle and got more people involved in that. So the story behind that was we redid the image of the mascot, launched him the first day of school with some hype videos and some promotional items. We sent bobbleheads to alums and media members on the national scene. We then did a New York City tour to meet alums at different places like Facebook and BuzzFeed and stuff like that. And then throughout the first pitch at Citi Field that evening. So that was the first kind of big push. And then one of our alums who ran cross country here, works at ESPN, called and said, "Hey, we'd love to have Lucas on an ESPN commercial." I said, "Fantastic. Tell us where you need us to go." So we went to Purchase College in New York. And they have, a big soundstage auditorium there. And they filmed an ESPN commercial to launch the ESPN app. And it was us, the Syracuse Orange, Sparty from Michigan State, the bull from the Chicago Bulls, and one or two others. So it was really cool. We were kind of in a league of our own. We're certainly the only mid-major school there. Mm. And that played on NBA on Christmas Day, Monday Night Football. Really, really neat. So that was fun. I loved our evolution of Red Sea Madness, you know, obviously pre-construction here, but to merge, it was a really cool student collaboration to take a fall concert, run out of FUSA, and take our basketball kind of party to the next level and do half basketball party, half concert with food trucks and everything like that. I think the year we had T-Pain is probably my favorite. It was a gigantic crowd.
It's right before us. We weren't here for that.
I apologize. I want to bring up things you weren't here for, but it was a cool idea. Yeah, yeah. So there was... that was pretty cool. Love the concept. A lot of schools are able to put together music and sports for a night like that, and it was cool to be able to do that. That was a big time thing. Hopefully, be able to try to recreate that experience in the Convocation Center someday. That'd be pretty neat. Haven't moved on that yet, but that'd certainly be neat. You know, we've been able to do a number of promotions online and in person that have garnered some recognition. We've had some viral videos. We've had, I'm really excited to, there's some things that are still going to roll out this spring, but we've worked a lot on the licensing side of things where, we've launched an Amazon store through this company called Trevco, so you can get Fairfield Stags gear on Amazon. We want to put gear where people are going, we're going to launch a few more stores this spring that you'll see on social. That'll be really cool. Mm-hmm. Some throwback stuff, some unique items in the marketplace that you haven't necessarily seen before with the Fairfield Stags brand. So one of the best things about working in this industry is that things are constantly evolving and changing, and there's new opportunities around every door. And it's really my job to evaluate those and pick out and see what the best decision is for Fairfield to help us grow our brand. I take a lot of responsibility as far as overseeing our brand from a Fairfield Stags perspective.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, Red Sea Madness is definitely one of the highlights of early, fall year always when it happened. And you mentioned that Lucas was in the commercial with Benny, the Bull, for the Bulls. He's huge right now on TikTok, social media. He's like one of the most popular mascots right now. Have you, just randomly, have you thought of, like, trying to get Lucas more big on, like, a platform like TikTok? I feel like that's a platform that, like, mascots right now are kind of, I don't know if you feel the same way, Jack, but I feel like mascots are blowing up right now.
Especially like Gritty from the Flyers, the Philadelphia Flyers is also big too. Like,
yeah.
It feels like mascots are kind of like, they're a very fun way to use TikTok because it's just like, I don't know, very cute. And
they could be like, they could show their personality and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'd love to expand on that. I haven't been as fully ingrained in TikTok as I probably should be. But I love creativity with mascots, so I think it's something we should look at. The Nicolette, who runs our social channels for the university and their TikTok, we've done some mascot videos, but as far as like leaning all in and trying to create kind of those experiences that go viral, we probably have more follow-up. It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so another kind of big day for Fairfield's brand was this past Friday. We were on ESPNU. I was just curious, when going into, like, you know, getting a game on ESPNU, how does that process look? Like, do they come to you? Do you go to them? Like, what's the whole process of getting that game on national television?
Great question. So the MAC conference has an ESPN deal, and that's how largely we've facilitated our ESPN 3 and plus games throughout the year. There are wild card games that are determined as the season progresses. So Friday night's game was deemed a wild card game. So we found out about 10 days prior, which is a little more than we had last year when we played Iona here on ESPNU. So the league determines those matchups. We get a quick heads up, generally the morning of, it was a week ago Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to be on the U next week. Announcement at 4 p.m. Okay. If we were playing on campus versus if we're at Webster Bank Arena, there's two different sets of people that, you know, help us run the arena that we've got to get in contact with. And then we pulled together everybody on Zoom calls. And so we were on some Zooms with ESPN, helping tell our story, right? So we want to use every opportunity that we can be on national television to help tell the Fairfield University story and do it better than anybody. So they had our updated drone footage of the Convocation Center, and they gave us some shout-outs about the arena and the $51 million project, 3,500 seats, and all the bells and whistles that'll be in the building while that drone footage from the media center is played on national TV. Last year, when we didn't have construction yet and we were just had the renderings, they played the renderings of that, so we were going through that during that time period because we want everybody to know that this building is going to be fantastic for Fairfield University and using that national platform to do that. We also gave them storylines about Black History Month. We had did a really nice feature. Ivy Spate, our videographer, did a feature on Art Crawford, our first black men's basketball player here on the Fairfield University campus, who eventually had an exceptional career with Xerox, I believe it was, at their corporate level. And they ran that feature as well as a part of Black History Month, which was fabulous. So we share some storylines and understand where they're coming from, give them some B-roll to work with because you want to weave the Fairfield University story into the basketball game, whether it's during halftime, coming in and out of timeouts. So that's really where that comes from. And then on game day, you know, when they come in with the truck, we make sure they have everything they need. There's probably a few more camera angles and stuff like that than we have in a traditional broadcast. It's kind of a more of a robust production. And away we go. So it's relatively streamlined. It's more about us making sure that we capture that opportunity. So we got a national TV audience. What do we want people to know about Fairfield during that 2.5-3 hour window?
Mm. I just wanted to ask a question. So you talk about like getting kind of eyes on Fairfield when they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You noticed last week when they played Siena, they played, I think it was, 2 o'clock on a Wednesday? It was like
Manhattan?
Manhattan. That's what I meant.
Yes.
They played Manhattan 2 o'clock on last Wednesday. And me and Kyle noticed on Twitter, that was probably the most interaction on Twitter that Fairfield has gotten while a game was going on by, just the general public.
Because it was the standalone.
It was a standalone game, yeah. But I don't know if that, do you notice that's going to happen, beforehand, or was that just random?
So, two parts to that. So, we played Manhattan last Wednesday at 1 p.m., largely because we had a COVID pause, and so did Manhattan, and we had to reschedule that game. So, that's why we had to play that game at that time. And we did not have any more dates at the arena to work with during the window of the season, so we had to do a doubleheader where the Westchester Knicks played that evening.
Oh.
So that, because we had to play during the day on a Wednesday, that made it, to your point, a standalone game. Mm-hmm. When there is a standalone game, there are more people watching because there's less competition for people's eyes. So there's way more different sports fans watching it than normal.
Yeah.
So viewership increases significantly. So in a traditional sense, I'll give you some numbers. So we played Wagner on December 23rd at 2 p.m. And that was because it was a getaway day. We wanted to have the guys, they only have 2.5-3 days maybe of going home for Christmas. So we played them at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But it was also a standalone game. We had over 16,000 people watch the Wagner Fairfield game, which is really, really good. Mm-hmm. On an ESPN3, ESPN Plus broadcast. So we normally average between 5, 8, maybe 9,000. So to get arguably double than that. And that is because of that standalone window. So which then in turn more people watching, more interactions on social,
yeah.
And the, like all of those pieces are kind of interconnected.
Yeah, it's definitely made it like a huge week.
Yeah,
those two games back to back, the ESPNU game and that definitely had a lot of eyes on us this week. So now it's almost time for the MAC basketball tournament to roll around. Obviously, the men's team struggling a little bit, but the women's team just captured the regular season title last week. So how are you feeling ahead of the trip to AC?
I am looking forward to a great week in AC. Fingers crossed. So, you know, 2 years ago, the tournament ended early because of the pandemic. Last year, we made an incredible run to the finals on the men's side. But it was still very much in a pandemic environment, right? We there was I think friends and family only, and it was in the second deck, and everything was very structured, and it needed to be at the time, and I agree with all of that. I'm really looking forward to a great week in Atlantic City. Obviously, our women's team is doing a fantastic job and on a roll. Our men's team can surprise some people. I feel really good about that. And you know we've hung tough with everybody all year, and it hasn't really gone our way, but it's 1 week, and you know, and similar to last year, like anything can happen. I feel really good, and I'm betting on our coaches and our kids, like they're gonna figure it out. They work incredibly hard, so I feel really good about the basketball. I also feel really good that there should be a semi normal, if not normal, fan experience in Atlantic City, which I think everyone wants and deserves. You know, we're 3 years in to an Atlantic City relationship through the MAC, and this is being lined up as the first true, you know, authentic shot at a conference tournament, uninterrupted conference tournament, which I'm excited for.
Obviously, after last year, baseball's kind of become a bigger thing in Fairfield, and they just started this past week. Me and Kyle, we weren't able to watch, but we were able to follow at times.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they took 2 or 3 from Elon. Obviously, not going to go undefeated like last year up until, what, May?
Yeah.
But kind of how do you feel about the Stags going into the season, going to conference play and all that?
I feel fantastic. Our student-athletes, we got a lot of teams this spring. Baseball's in a really good position. We got a lot of teams in the spring that are poised for some postseason success, and that's from year after year of aligning it for this moment. It's between recruiting and training. We have the potential to have a really good spring. Speaking about baseball specifically, we had a lot of kids return that were major contributors. We got some really strong new recruits and some transfers. And taking 2 or 3 on the first weekend, that feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Elon is no slouch. It's a good ball club.
Mm-hmm.
So really excited about that. And we've got a really good non-conference slate that we'll learn some things and figure out how the rotation will go and the lineup and everything like that. But I feel really good about it. And I would love to have a similar level of success as last spring. I'd be crazy to say otherwise. It was a blast.
Another trip to Texas.
Yeah, another trip to Texas.
Number one team in the country.
Exactly. So I feel really good about that. I also feel like the respect level amongst the baseball beat writers and different conferences and some of these preseason polls is there. You know, we've to your point, like there's a presence there with baseball, and it's due to the credit of the team and the coaching staff from last year. So let's see where this takes us. It's nice to have a normal season with a non-conference and a conference slate. I'm excited about the MAC championships being held at the Rockland Boulders Stadium in New York. That could be a really cool experience. And yeah, I'd love to get back to a regional. We talked the last time. It was a fantastic time. I love that. And baseball is so cool. And I played in college, so it's naturally something I'm really passionate about. But there's so many great venues and regional sites and stuff like that to go to a Texas or a Mississippi State or a Vanderbilt. Like, these are all signature baseball environments that fans love, our teams would love to experience. So great days ahead for the Stags.
Especially because,
that was a great time last year for us, too. We loved the spring. We loved watching the team. And, like, I feel like something that has to be one of our highlights of being here is, like, watching ESPN and seeing our name get called, you know, in the auto or the at-large bid. It's like something we probably could have never really imagined.
And I mean, that's probably one of the few times we've seen Fairfield on like the in the same field as like a Texas, like the big time schools like that.
And not only playing them, but winning too.
Yeah, exactly.
Arizona State,
but like still no slouch. It's like,
yeah.
Rarely do we see in any other sport it's like favorite versus like a huge school like that. It's usually just like MAC schools or like a smaller like
other
and school. Holding their own too. It's awesome. But so we got a few minutes left before we let you out of here, and I know you want to talk about the Convocation Center, so let's get to it. Out here, you know, coming in here every week, talking, you know, going on campus, it's you can't miss it. It's crazy how fast it's going up. You can see the stairs in there now. You can see the front pillars and everything up. The roof and everything. So looking ahead to the future, talk to me about the progress of this place and your excitement. I know you're very excited for it, so just prepared to give you the floor here and
sure.
Talk about
it. Yeah, every day it's incredible to watch. I think I get a tour soon, a hard hat tour, which I'm pretty excited about. I would say, so the building's going to be tremendous, and we've talked, you know, 3,500 seats and the ability to have a beer garden, a Stags Club dining area, some premium seating areas. It's going to have a robust kind of Dectronics video board display, you know, team shop for purchasing gear, concessions, you know, and that's just really on the fan side. We have some nice team locker rooms and film rooms and all of those things. So it's going to be a trademark building for our campus among our peer group. It's going to be a building that really shines, which is exciting. I love the focal point of it being so centrally located on campus.
Yeah, right when you enter.
You know, when we've done a number of events in Alumni Hall, events, you know, it can be concerts, it can be athletic events, it can be community events. And when you know it's going to be a full house, people just kind of come out of the woodwork, right? You see people on the sidewalks. You see people coming from different residence halls. You see people coming from the local community, from different streets and everything like that. And those are the moments that I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm so excited. We're going to get that with this building. So what I've been focused on most recently is, along with several others on campus, is aligning us to be successful on a number of the fan experience elements. So putting out a request for proposals and getting to a finalist on a new ticket software that we'll have on campus that will make the fan experience, whether you're a student or a ticket buyer, really seamless and enjoyable, and you know, digital transfer of tickets, all of those things. Working on a ticket sales staff to make sure that we're selling season tickets and mini plans and single game tickets at a high volume and connecting with the right people, and then making sure that we're keeping the data on the back end to ensure that we've got a library of data to work off of from a ticket sales perspective. Working with a number of different elements that impact the game day experience. So that's what I've been focused on. I've also been focused on what's our marketing plan look like as we roll this out. And as students come back, the messaging about this building is going to be significant. The community, the messaging the community gets is going to be significant. This is a community building. You know, everyone says we want to get the Red Sea back. We want the Red Sea back. And I agree completely. The message that you'll hear is it takes a village. Like, it takes everybody to do that and to buy in. And, you know, there's going to be a price point for everybody. There's going to be an experience for everybody. I've tried to tour a number of great basketball environments to pull different ideas this year. I was at Providence for Providence URI in December, and they do a great light show. I want to do, like, these light-up wristbands that pulse with the music to different colors and everything like that. Like, paying attention to music and how's the pep band and spirit squad integrated into game day? What promotions are people doing? What do premium areas look like? All of those things to try to tour different spaces so that, you know, we only get one first impression. That's, you know, and I want to make sure, as well as several others on campus, that first impression is exceptional. And anything we don't do well, we improve on immediately, and people see that difference. You can't hit a home run every time. But this is a huge inflection point. This is years in the making, and, you know, the future's bright. So I want to make sure that we do that really, really well.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you'll pull so many non-favorable basketball fans in for, like, their first experience in that arena. So, I mean, you could make a ton of new fans just from the first few games of that season. Mm-hmm. Just, like, they go to one game, they enjoy it. It's like, oh, I want to go back. Mm-hmm. Then at that point, you build.
I mean, even some of our friends, I, like, basically forced all of our friends to go on Friday.
Yeah, not me.
I mean, obviously, he was going to be there regardless because he's a fan. But a lot of my friends were like, oh, like, when's the next game? And I was like, unfortunately, like, there's only one more men's game left.
Yeah. We all got,
but they are interested in going. We kind of made them.
We all got
fans.
Back, and they were all ready to go back again for
yeah.
the game.
I love it. See, first of all, thank you to all the students that came last Friday night. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate everybody coming out. That was awesome. That was one of the best atmospheres that I've seen at Webster Bank Arena since I've been here. And, you know, that's a precursor to what's to come. You know, yes, we only have one men's game left this year, two women's games. But at the same time, how do we build that experience for students in the new Convocation Center to where it's an every night, all year thing? Like, we don't miss a game because you're going to have great seats. It's a small, it's an intimate venue. You're going to have great seats. The amenities are going to be there. The programming around this building, I love the centrally located part of this because we can do programming in the BCC, in the Levy, in the Kelly Center. We can do a number of things. You know, it's really, it's up to us and what and we want the student feedback. You know, what would work for you guys? And we'll do it. So, like, how do we build all those, all that programming out so that, you know, I want opposing teams to not want to come here because, like, the crowd is crazy. You know,
yeah.
That's what I want. And we can lean in on that really hard and have fun. That's what college sports is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. I keep joking that I'm doing a fifth year just to wait for the new building. But Jack's going
to
be graduating.
I hope to be back. I'll definitely be back for a game next year. Oh my.
Count
I'm
on
really
it. That'd be great.
So yeah, I mean, we'll do one more and then we'll let you go. I know we're running short on time here, but
that's
we
okay.
just wanted to know how, like, for the teams themselves playing in there, how much of an impact do you think it'll have on them playing in that new arena, whether it be like new recruits or just do you think they'll just play better, like feeding off of that more smaller gym environment? Like, how do you think it'll impact those teams?
I think it's going to be certainly a ton of value add. Every team I've ever been on wants to play in front of a great crowd. That's, you know, that home field or home court environment has to be there. And we're going to work really hard to create that home court advantage. So I think it's only a positive to be home and to do that. You know, even when in Alumni Hall, some of my greatest memories here are the Volleyball MAC Championships too. Like, we had some great crowds for Volleyball MAC Championships and, you know, really loud building. And, you know, in many of those cases, especially I believe the two that I've been here for, you know, we took home the MAC Championship trophy at the end of the thing. So, it's going to be great. I think the acoustics are going to be really good. It's going to be a loud building. And it's our goal to create, you know, an unparalleled home court advantage. You know, you see some places across the country, big and small, that do that really well. And we're putting the work in to make sure that that happens.
And it's funny because, like, baseball last year when we started to get, like, bigger and bigger crowds for the games in the spring, like, even I feel like opponents even were excited to play Fairfield in – excited, I guess, to play in Fairfield because it was just a crowd to play in front of. Like,
especially on the weekend.
Yeah, especially. Yeah. I feel like even the opponents will kind of enjoy it more. It'll just be an overall better experience because, like,
for everyone
involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you see that on TV all the time. Even, you know, if you play in a packed house, the energy's there, you know. And I think it's better for everybody.
All right. Our final send-off question that we always ask, we told you last time, and you told us a great story, so I was pretty upset that we didn't catch it, but you know, do you have any funny, unique, interesting story that you'd like to tell from any of your experience maybe this year or even back to the baseball trip or anything like that?
Well, I feel like I got to tell the recorded story that we're recording.
Yeah, you could just retell
I could
that.
Do that.
That was a good
it's
one.
Like the best one I have.
Yeah.
So the story goes that, you know, I was kind of Bill Currier's travel agent during the Texas trip. So for those who don't know the background, Bill, we got the at-large bid, which, by the way, it's worth to saying over again, for the one of the biggest accomplishments last year, I know winning the games in the NCAA tournament was incredible, but for Fairfield to get an at-large bid in a college baseball environment like that, that's a huge deal. I mean, we went nuts, like everybody went crazy. It was awesome, but it's worth repeating. So it was an incredible accomplishment. So it was well documented on ESPN that Bill had to leave to go to his son's wedding on that Saturday. So we played Friday night. We lost to Arizona State. And then it was 7 o'clock first pitch. So get home in the middle of the night, back to the hotel in the middle of the night. And I've got to get Bill to the airport. And I was just going to send him in an Uber. So I showed him how to do it on his phone, set him up, went to bed. It was like 1:30 in the morning. It was probably 12:30 in the morning, I think. And then I'm out of sight, out of mind. And then if I kept my phone on loud, which I never do, especially now I have children, like I try to sleep as much as humanly possible. But I kept my phone on loud, so for whatever reason, at 2 a.m. my phone rings, and Bill's like, I canceled the Uber and I don't know how to, I might be stuck here. Like, I got to get to the airport. And he tried Lyft, excuse me, as well. No luck. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know what to do. I said, Bill, where are you? He goes, I'm outside your hotel room door. I'm like, okay, we'll figure this out. So, the rest of the trip, thankfully, was, relatively smooth. We got Bill to the airport. I basically, on Sunday when he came back, we beat Southern that on Saturday. We played Arizona State on Sunday morning. Bill basically didn't sleep Saturday night into Sunday. He went back from he was in Vermont, had to go to Boston to fly from Logan to Austin. And we were so perfectly timed at that point, I don't think I slowed the car down once he got back to Austin. Like, it was just seamless. And then he actually, I think he got back before the team had BP that morning against Arizona State. So, like, we were flawless in our execution of this. But all in all, incredible trip. You know, Bill had that, you know, son was getting married. It's a family decision. We support family, you know, 100% here. So that was the right decision. He had a great staff to lean on. The assistant coaches did great. Student athletes stepped up, got the win, got back to Sunday in Arizona State, beat a Power 5 school on ESPN, and played Texas Sunday night. So it was a whirlwind. Coach Kerr and I are very close, and you know, and I care tremendously about his program, and that's the story.
And your travel planning got a shout out on the broadcast.
Yes,
showed his tracking of like miles right. traveled in the day.
There was like a courier tracker. Yeah. It was well documented. So,
so better for ratings too. Better right. for interactions.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. All for the social media engagement. I'm all for that. So we had it was an adventure, and very publicly documented yeah. adventure.
Yeah, and we had him on the show too, and he told some of those stories as well. He's a pretty funny guy as well. So
yeah, he's fantastic.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thank you so much, Zach, for coming down, sitting, talking to us. It was awesome. Really, really insightful stuff. I think a little bit something for everyone that's listening. So I'm glad we got to do this again. Definitely got it recorded this time. And that'll be up on streaming services tonight. So, Zach Dayton, thanks for joining us. Love to have you on anytime you want. It's always a great time.
Absolutely. Appreciate you both. Looking forward to seeing you guys at some games in the spring. I know we've got quite an atmosphere of baseball to look forward to, I'm sure. And I hope to see you guys across campus throughout. Appreciate you both.
All right. It's been Red Sea Radio. We'll be back again next week to talk more Fairfield basketball. For Kyle and Jack, as always, we'll leave you off by saying, go Stags. That was Zach Dayton, Deputy Director of Athletics at Fairfield University. Zach has had a hand in changing the way Fairfield Athletics looks and operates. To learn more about Zach and his efforts, you can go to fairfieldstags.com or follow Zach on Twitter at Zach_Dayton. To keep up with Red Sea Radio, follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio. Until next time, I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, leaving you as I always do by saying, go Stags.